Good morning, everybody. It's 10 o'clock. It's Wednesday morning, and this is the Your Living Brand Live show. Welcome to the show. My name is Ben Baker. For those of you who haven't been on the show before, welcome. This show, and welcome back to everybody who else has been watching the show. This show is all about telling a unique story. It's about understanding that every company has something different and something unique and something special that they do. And it's a matter of being able to tell that story in a way that your audience understands it, they internalize it, and they tell that story themselves. It's about understanding that you don't have to be a commodity, that you don't have to be another Me Too. And it doesn't matter if you sell hammers or if you sell Lear jets. You know what? Everybody has something that makes them unique in the world. Everybody has something that they do something just a little bit differently and just a little bit different and a little bit more special in a way that's going to make people perk up their ears and say, hey, maybe I should talk to these people instead. Maybe I should look at their product instead of the other product. And you know what? The more you can tell that story, the more you can give people a reason to see that you're different, that see that you have something unique to offer that's valuable to them, the better things are going to be. Now, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, I have a company called Your Brand Marketing. What do? We consult, we teach, and we speak on brand, message, market, vision, and value. We're there to help tell your story. We're there to tell people what you do, why you do it, who you do it for, and what the value is to them. Because if people don't understand why they should care, they won't. And that's what this show is all about, getting people to understand what you do and care. Now, this week's guest is Annalee Cornelson. Annalee is a visual practitioner. She is a great visual practitioner. And you're going to say, hey, what's that? So let me bring up a quick picture and let me show you what she does, and then we'll talk about it. That amazing person in the room, whether it be a negotiation, whether it be a facilitation, whether it be just a bunch of people workshopping a new idea, that stands in the background and listens and turns those ideas into a graphical representation. It is an amazing skill that she has, and it's becoming more and more popular. It's a way of not only focusing on the problem instead of the people within a situation, but it also gives you some tangible ideas of this is what we actually did over the 3-hour, 5-hour, full day, 2-day, you know, week long session to be able to understand, you know what, this is what we accomplished and this is what we're trying to get out of it. So tell you what, let me just stop sharing the screen. Get right to Annalee. Now I've pre-recorded this session with Annalee, so let me go get her and I'll be back after our interview. Hello, Annalee. How are you today?
Hello, Ben. I'm very well. How about yourself?
Great. Thank you for joining us today from Squamish. I'm hoping that the weather up there is good and it's a beautiful day.
It's pouring buckets, but you know it's good for the nature and frogs and all those guys. So
absolutely. You know what? It's the beautiful thing about living in the Pacific Northwest. If we didn't want to live in a rainforest, we wouldn't appreciate the rain. So I'm all for.
Oh yeah.
Let the weather be what the weather is. It's half the fun.
Now, absolutely. All you have to do is look at the size of our trees and feel grateful.
So, exactly. Right? It's those 100-foot trees that are 250 years old that are amazing. Mm-hmm. Those beautiful cedars. Those amazing cedars that we get everywhere, and they're just incredible. So, those are the nice things about living in the Pacific Northwest. I love living up here in Vancouver. So, mm-hmm. I consider us very lucky.
Now, oh yeah, no doubt about it.
I want to talk about you. This show has got to be about you because that's what's important. That's what's important is I want to hear your story. As I was telling everybody, you're a visual practitioner, and mm-hmm. I want to know what that means. You're an artist. You do graphic recording. You do a whole bunch of different things, and I want to find out what do you do, why do you do it, who do you do it for, and what's the value that you bring to the table because you have an incredible story to tell.
Right. Well, yeah, those are some very, very good questions. I almost don't even know where to start. So let's see. Visual practitioner. Yeah. What does that mean? It's a bit of an umbrella term. that I've heard tossed around a little bit. I like it personally because it encompasses, it can fit over the spectrum of the things that I do. So I have my practice as a fine artist, but I also am a graphic recorder and I do a lot of other things in between, like illustration and that sort of thing. So to me, that term really just signifies that I'm using my skills of visual synthesis in the service of practical matters of people's needs, helping them clarify their ideas, see them in context, and that sort of thing. And that even goes into my work as a fine artist as well, because I'm visualizing feelings. It's just a little bit more self-directed rather than absolutely 100% in service, but no less in service ultimately.
Cool. So before we get into what graphical recording is, because it's an amazing field, and we'll see if after our recording, if I can bring up one of your graphic recordings so people actually have a look of what it is and what you do. Sure. But tell me the story of how you got into the field of fine arts and what you're passionate about.
Yeah, great question. How I got into fine art, I've never not been into fine art. I started drawing when I was just a year old, as soon as I could hold a pencil, and I was drawing people, and just really, I consider myself quite fortunate just to have had an interest and then the ability and the support to develop that interest. And mm-hmm. I remember asking my mom to sit down and I would request specific drawings and she would draw things for me and then I would learn how to draw that way. So I've never not been doing that. One day, a good friend of mine was interning with this photographer, and she happened to meet through him Karina Keeling, who's also a fantastic visual practitioner in the Vancouver area.
Yeah.
And then so she, my friend, came to me and said, "I just found out about this job. You have to meet this girl, this woman. You have to do this. This is perfect for you."
Uh-huh.
And so I did, and I reached out to Sam Brad, whom you know as well, and just benefited tremendously from the support of this community. It's an amazing supportive community. And learned how to do it kind of through practice and trial and error. And I've been in the game for about almost 5 years now, 4 years.
Wow.
Getting on to five. Yeah.
Wow. So graphic recording, for people that don't understand what it is, it's those phenomenal people that stand behind me when I'm, talking to a group of people and synthesize what the group is talking about visually. So, it's being able to take our thoughts and the process and the feelings and the emotions and be able to put it out on paper in a way that people could say, yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Or no, wait a second, hang on. We weren't thinking of that. We were thinking about this, and being able to move on the fly graphically to be able to help tell that story. So at the end of the session, there is an amazing graphical representation of the entire conversation that people can sit there and say, this is what we meant. This is what we were trying to do. This is what we were trying to achieve. And it makes the whole process richer. So tell me how you do this. Like it's an incredible process, and I've watched it done, and you just sit there and you look over your shoulder and you sit there and go, wow. From my point of view, I love standing up front of a room. I love facilitating people, but it's taking people's thoughts and ideas and graphically representing them. That's an amazing concept. How do you go about doing that?
My personal theory is that it's the perfect job for the extroverted introvert. I always like to
what
sort
a
of
great
be on
term.
The periphery.
I love that.
Yeah. I like to be on the periphery and sort of listening and scoping things out. So it's, how do I do that? That's a tremendous question. I have half the time don't even know. I did a session 2 days ago and kind of looked at everything that I'd done and was like, how did this come out? But as best as I can describe it, it's, the process for me internally is listening. It's so much more listening than it is drawing. Mm-hmm. The ability to take information and ideas, turn them into images and put them out there. That's sort of the art of it, right? And that's part of being a visual thinker. And there are, tremendous visual thinkers in all different sorts of arenas.
Right.
Whenever I'm listening to people speak, I always have images in my head, and sometimes they uh-huh. come out as mannerisms and antics, and sometimes they come out as pictures. So that's sort of, I don't know if I could describe this, the development of that skill, but from a practical point of view, the skills that I've had to learn to apply to this are visual organization. So how to sort ideas and use color and be deliberate with my choices in visually representing things so that for clarity and for consistency. as well. So that's a big part of it.
Oh, that's incredible because you're right, because it's the color as well as the graphic itself, because the different colors can represent different people's thoughts. You know, if done right, if done right, and if you could sit there and say, okay, if you can organize your thought process, when you're listening to people, to sit there and say, okay, here's, this color can represent this and this color can represent that. And, being able to do all that on the fly is an amazing, capability. And I'm not sure earlier, I tried to bring up one of your graphics while we were talking. I'm not sure whether that got recorded or not. If it did, I apologize. It was just, one of my screens coming up, just trying to, bring up one of your graphic representations. It didn't work. So we'll go from there. But, it's that ability to listen. And how do you hone that? How do you hone that ability to listen? Do you take courses to do that? Is there methods that you've learned from other people? You mentioned Sam. I mean, Sam has, been at this a long time and is really, really good at it, but is there different styles that you learn to be able to get better at doing this? Or is it just, is it just something that just comes to you?
I definitely say it's you have to be intentional about it. At least I had to be intentional about it. Sam, of course, is a tremendous resource. He's done so much work in a lot of different spheres where tremendous humility is required and just really open-heartedness. So that's a big focus, and we talk a lot about that, and because I do some work with him as well. For my own practice, so there's different things. So to develop the skill of there's a lot of graphic recording skills, specifically drawing, hand lettering, all that kind of stuff. We're constantly working on that. I'm constantly working on that. And that's in community and looking at my work and looking at other people's work and constantly pushing myself. Mm-hmm. In terms of learning to listen, that's been an ongoing process of the best way that I could describe it is that I take short moments repeated many times.
Okay.
Where just as often as possible, it's just completely relaxing. And what that allows me to do is it's sort of a practice of stepping aside from my own personal identity and whatever's going on in my head and whatever I think is the best thing. Mm-hmm. And really, like listening is natural and it's the default state, but we've got so much else that clutters it up of our own thoughts and our own perceptions about what other people are saying. So it's really just the act of letting that settle. Mm-hmm. And just putting it down, like you just put down like a heavy bag, and like, okay, I'll put this down now. And just letting that direct transmission come from the people that I'm serving and from who I'm working with. Because oftentimes they've got deep, deep wells of knowledge and information that I'm never going to be able to know. I'm not going to be able to learn everything about every topic I'm scribing. So just to really, humbly allow them to pass their information through me and then, put myself in service of that. And also at the same time to maintain that higher level perspective to understand when people are able to see the whole context and when they're not. So I'm also doing them the service of helping to put their thoughts in context. So people often, they're specialists, they're in detail, they're in the weeds.
Yeah.
And so to be able to understand that that is important, but to have it scaled in relation to the rest of the thoughts and to mm-hmm. to help them come back into context through that without trying to affect them, but just by representing it visually in a way that's balanced.
Right. Well, you said two things that are, really important. And when you get it back, listening is a natural state. I'm not sure how natural a state listening really is for most people. Most people are so worried about what their next conversation is going to be coming out of their mouth that they, that they don't actually take the time to actually, actively listen. And, it's a skill I'm constantly working on. I'm constantly working about, okay, close the mouth and actually listen to what people are saying, because, what they say and how they say it is as important, as the words that come out of their mouth, and the visual clues that come along with it. And so, that's a skill that, I think you're short selling yourself. I think, it's a far greater skill than most people realize. And the other thing is that, getting people out of the weeds, because most of these conversations, especially when you get technical, move into the weeds very quickly. They get from being a very high level conversation where things are getting done and, things are happening to minutia. And as a facilitator, that's the hard part. The hard part is getting people out of the minutia and getting people out of the weeds and getting people to actually look at a broader thought. And I find that the visual, graphic representation that's on the board at the time helps to get people out of the weeds. It gives them something to focus on, get away from the ego, get away from, the tit for tat type thing and focus on the task at hand. And it gives a really great focal point that people can say, no, I didn't mean this. I meant that. Okay, great. And, so that way that people can sit there and work on the ideas and not, one-upping each other. And I think that's a really underpinning thing that you bring to the table that I'm sure that a lot of graphic recorders don't even realize that you help refocus when a lot of times it needs to be done.
Yeah, I think a lot of us have experience in facilitation and just even being present in meetings prior to becoming graphic recorders or throughout. And we do, I for myself can tell the difference. I can see the difference. And I attribute it to a few things specifically. So for one thing, when people see their ideas, when they see themselves being heard and they see that they're, what's come out of their mouth is now on a big piece of paper in front of everybody, they relax a little bit and they tend to be able to move on a little bit more. So the conversation tends to flow a little bit more naturally when people see that they're being heard. Mm-hmm. There's also the fact that you know, that old phrase of a picture's worth 1,000 words. I don't necessarily know if it's 100, if it's 1,000 words in each case, but I definitely know that I can, listen to somebody speak for a little while, draw one thing, and then they're like, yeah, that's what I meant. Perfect. So there's a just naturally through the medium, the visual medium, the ability to distill thoughts a little bit more.
Yeah.
And sometimes even just capture the essence of the heart of what somebody's trying to say, of even just a feeling that's maybe a little bit beyond words, and just have like a well-chosen image and a word or two, and then they'll feel satisfied with that. So that's definitely a bit of a skill. And then there's also just the fact that there are tons of us in the room who are not able to sit there and process a large amount of verbal information as easily. I'm one of those people. That's why I do this. I sketch note anytime I have to listen to a lot of things at once.
Or doodle on your desk. Just sit there and say, okay.
Exactly. I was that kid in school for sure. So it, I think that helps include more people as well. And that's really important to me. It's a big part of why I do this.
Yeah. And it's also, it helps the people that are outside the room as well. Once the conversation has happened, because it's usually a much larger group that you're influencing than the people that are in the room, and if you can provide them with something that says, here, this is what we did, and it's one drawing or two drawings or five drawings that tell the story about what happened during that day or that weekend, it's a lot easier for people to see the path of that, of logically of what happened during that day and the thought process that went behind it, and it's a lot more accurate as an aggregate of what happened in the group than one person's opinion of what happened, so there's a lot of value to that.
That's a fair point. There's also, I find one of the values, because it's not an exhaustive list, right? It's not the same as all the flip chart notes and all the PowerPoints that come out of it. But it does come in really handy as a higher level summary. And I like to think of it as kind of a map. Mm-hmm. So say I was doing a weekend conference and graphic recording, I'd probably have, I don't know, maybe two or three pieces a day for 3 days or something like that. So you end up with quite a lot. And then as part of a presentation material afterwards, as part of the notes, it almost acts as a bit of an index or a map of all of the other material that's going to come out of that weekend. So people can read all the material, but not get totally bogged down and lost in it and still refer back to the images to kind of tell where they are in the scale of that time.
Yeah. And that helps. So what do you see moving forward in your business? I mean, how do you see the next generation of graphic recorders? What are the things, is there technology that's going to make your life easier? Is there new skills and new ways that you can do, that you can help people? Are there things that you guys are talking about within the community that are the next steps and new things that you'd like to try or like to bring into, into the facilitation process?
That's fantastic. I don't know that I'm a great spokesperson for the community at large. I haven't been to IFVP. We're worldwide, and then there's a gathering every year where people get together and they do workshops. And so some of the folks who are at the forefront of the industry, of the business, like Sam is a really good example of somebody who'd be able to give you some larger scale ideas. I can tell you a little personally about my personal goals and some of the things I see in people coming up. It's growing and spreading, and that's fantastic. There's definitely a larger openness than there was. It's kind of still a little bit of a new business. It's a little, still a little bit fringy, but more and more there's more awareness and people know about it and they're excited about it and people are getting into it. They're teaching courses at SFU. It's growing.
That's great.
That's fantastic. And there's, I mean, from a personal creative point of view, there's endless improvement possibilities. Like I have my own goals for visually where I'd like to be. Right now I'm doing a lot of work for Drawing Change for Sam Brad as a subcontractor, and that's just a tremendous growing and learning experience. It's great to be part of a team. It can be a little bit lonely for work because
they're
freelancers.
Yes, it can, I'm sure for you everybody.
Yeah. So it's been really wonderful to have those opportunities to be four of us in a room and all working together. Have someone to collaborate with. So that's great. Yeah, it's a wide industry. There's a huge amount of variety. There's some firms that are doing huge corporate clients and that sort of thing. I'd like to continue to serve, you know, at a community level as much as possible. That's really
you don't
want
to travel around the world
it.
And do this for the UN? Is that?
I mean, the communities could be anywhere. I'm
well,
open
that's
to
true.
That, but but it's really wonderful to serve, like, you know, the First Nations communities and work with, you know, small local governing bodies and that sort of thing is really gratifying. You know, but there's a lot of benefit to be done on any scale in any industry. So I think that that's wide open.
And that's what people don't seem to understand. This can be done anywhere and it can help anybody, you know, anywhere where there's any type of, you know, facilitation, negotiation, anywhere where there's ideas being generated. This skill can help, you know, the process along. And that's, you know, that's a neat thing, is to sit there and say, it's a growing field. I mean, the challenge is to make sure that the people that you're bringing on board are qualified. And, you know, I don't know if there's a certification, I don't know if there's a way, you know, to look at, you know, I mean, for me, it's looking at other people's work and talking to people that have done the work before, who you trust, and be able to find out if they're not available, who, you know, who can they bring on board? sorry, but you know, with new people coming on board all the time, you know, how do you know that they actually have the skills? Because it's, as you said, it's listening. It's not just the drawing skills, it's the listening skills, it's the empathy skills, it's the, you know, it's the broad-based knowledge of how business works and how, you know, meetings happen. And that's something that you learn through experience. You know, so how do you know if you're going to hire somebody, what are the things somebody should be looking for?
Great question. I mean, the thing, one of the things I like the most about this work is I don't have to talk about it. It speaks for itself. So I can show people my portfolio, and if they, if they like what I do, if the style works for them, if they can see value, and if, you know, because the whole purpose of my work is to communicate value. So if you're looking at my portfolio and you can't tell if I did, right by the client, then I'm not doing my job right. So I do think that there's, it speaks for itself a little bit. Yeah. Recommendations are fantastic. If you've worked with somebody, there's a few key people in the community who know, we all know each other. It's not competitive. We're very collaborative. We're very, we share a lot. So I get a lot of referrals from some of my colleagues who are maybe a bit busier or have been in the game longer. So yeah, you can always reach out to your, you know, find, if you Google, the first person that comes up is probably, has probably been doing it the longest. You can ask them for recommendations. You know, you can do, you do a bit of research and you'll come across those folks really, really quickly, and don't hesitate to ask us to recommend people, because we all know a couple people we'd love to pass work to. So.
And that's great because, you know what, if the community takes care of the community, everybody gets better. You know, that's, you know, and that's what a lot of people don't understand about the graphic community, you know, a lot of the creative communities. a lot of the creative communities are about making sure that the work is done great. And if you can't do the work, you probably know somebody that can. I'm the same way. You know, I'm not a digital marketer. I mean, there are people that understand the ins and outs of digital marketing way better than I do, and I hire them. You know, I'd rather hire them. I'd rather sit there and say, you know what? This is not my area of expertise. Let's bring in the right people that can do the job and do it right. You know, and I think there's a lot of things to be able to sit there and say, you know, trust people that have a network, because good work is going to get done.
Absolutely. A great example of that, I'm currently working on a project for Sam, where we have a series of posters that he's already done in English that need to be in French now. And so I'm able to use both of my skills. I work in French as well. And so to use the translations that are coming from the client and then understand where they go and just redo all of the text and the posters. We've never done this before, and it's working out, which is great. But it's a perfect example of, oh, hey, I don't have this skill, but you have it, so let's work together.
That's right.
And building that that community and that strength that way, and creating more benefit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, recently you and I tried to do a project in Ottawa together, and they were really excited that I had somebody that was bilingual that would work with me. You know, that was one of the key factors that was going to do it. Unfortunately, the timing ended up not working for the client, but you know what? It was really exciting for them that I had somebody that was bilingual, because I'm certainly not, you know, so you know, be able to have somebody that if somebody said something in French, you know, you would be able to get it. You know, my French would be good enough to understand it, but I certainly couldn't speak back to them. But at least I had somebody there that could, if necessary. And, you know, and there's a lot of benefit to that, because there's nuances that happen through language. You know, if you don't understand the nuance of language, it's really hard to get, you know, the right, you know, position across. So I've got one last question for you.
Sure.
And that question is, when you leave a meeting, when you've, you know, walked out the door, you've closed the door behind you, you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to remember about you and think about you and the work that you do?
Oh, wow. Okay. The one thing.
It can be two if you want.
I don't know if it's anything about me, but I want them to remember how I made them feel. And how I want to have made them feel is heard, valued, respected. I want there to be a warmth and a comfort and an ease there. And so I want to just leave them with a really good feeling of being, of having been heard and listened to and understood. I want people to feel like they've been really understood and supported.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. And you know what, that's a wonderful place to stop, you know, because it is all about the customer, and it's all about making sure, you know, if the customer feels that they've been heard and understood and valued, they're going to come back. And they're going to, you know, talk to other people about what you do and why you do it. And Annalee, I want to take the time and I want to say thank you for joining me. It has been an absolute pleasure. Hang out in the green room. I'll be right back. I just want to say goodbye to everybody, and I'll be right there. Hang on.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for having me, Ben. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure. See you in a second. So thank you guys very much for joining us today. You know, Annalee is an incredible ability. She has an amazing ability to take words and thoughts and ideas and turn them into a graphical representation that makes sense, not only to one person, but to many. And that's a skill. That's an amazing skill that I certainly don't have, and a lot of people don't have. And you know what? To have that type of person in your corner to help facilitate a meeting really can make the difference between something being successful or adversarial. And you know what? Take the time, find the right people, find people that can help make you better, that can help make your company better. Understand the things that you need, and then go look for the companies that you can trust and the companies that you think that you can work with, and build partnerships, because that's what business is all about. You know what? Thank you all for making the time for coming to listen to the show today. Once again, my name is Ben Baker. My company is Your Brand Marketing. The Your Living Brand Live show is every Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Next week, we're going to be bringing on Marles Arnold. She's going to be speaking to you about trade show marketing, and I think you definitely want to be listening in. Now, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, we speak on message, market, vision, and value, and we consult, we teach, and we speak. Thanks a lot, and have a great week.